How many of y'all are just thankful for worship today? Anybody thankful for the worship we get to encounter today? Awesome stuff. Well, I got to call you to be what you've already been made. Did y'all get that? I got to call you to be what you've already been made. How many of y'all realize that Christ reigns in you? You know, a lot of times we kind of do this church thing like God's out here. And I want you to know, once again, I want you to be reminded. You've been reminded about that through communion. Christ is in here. He is in here doing a great work. But God tells us to do some things. He tells us to be about some things. And so this summer, I'm going to remind you once again, as you're out and about, as you in and you're out, you have a message to tell the world. And you have a great message to tell the world that Jesus is Lord. Jesus can make a difference. In church, I'm challenging us because guess what? It's time we get the message out. It's time we get the message out. Now, you can sit around and whine about everything that's going wrong. You can whine about bad decisions that are being made. But I really don't think you have permission to whine if you're not going to tell. And by the way, what does whining accomplish anyway? How many of y'all have ever gotten anywhere by whining your way there? Anybody? Now, some of you daughters have, because eventually we dads, we just give up by attrition and hand it over to you. But you know, really, it doesn't work that way. Whining is not something that God's called us to. Telling is what God's called us to go tell this great message. Now, here's what I want you to know. We have been sent out with a purpose, and that's to go live a full and abundant life. How many of you guys believe that? We're supposed to be living a full and abundant life. So following Jesus Christ is more than just coming to church, hearing some good news. It's more than just singing a few worship songs. It is actually a new life that God has given us. Now, I want to show you some things. We have been sent out into the world to become this. You ready? A peaceful disturbance. Sounds like a paradox, because it is. If you don't mind, if you'll just, and I'm going to do it to Nathan because he needs it done to him. Because this is true about Nathan. Nathan, you are a peaceful disturbance. But sometimes you're just a disturbance. Yes, that's true, Nathan. It takes one to know it. You're right. All right, if y'all don't mind, hey, Nathan, it's true. If you don't mind, if you all will share with somebody close to you, you are a peaceful disturbance. Just go ahead and let them know. You are a peaceful disturbance. Good. Man, y'all do this sharing thing good. Good, good. He's fine. He preaches with me. He helps me. He's part of our worship. All right, now, this is really what God's called us to do. It sounds crazy. I know. Now, listen, if you're visiting with us today and you come from a prim and proper religious tradition, I encourage you to read the scripture because it's not in there. We made a lot of stuff up about God that God never said. And the more I read in the beginning of the Christian faith, the more I see the need for us to go back and reclaim who we really are. Not what some people said we are, but who God said we were. And God has called 72 people together. Now, you may be in a translation. The number is debatable here. Some translations say 70, others say 72. It doesn't cause a great change. It's this. Jesus appoints 72 and he sends them out two by two. All right, well, let's go to that. Luke chapter 10. And I want you to see what we're doing this summer, because we still got to tell it. We got to become a peaceful disturbance to the world. A peaceful disturbance to the world. Because the message that you got to tell is going to disturb some people. How many of y'all realize that? Now, I want to challenge you on this. How many of y'all have ever said this? Well, I can't go do it till it's peaceful. I hear this all the time. Well, Pastor, I would love to work. I need to be at peace with that. I want you to know you made that up. How many of y'all were at peace when you got married? I've never married anybody at peace. I'm telling you, ever groom that's come out that side door, and the thousands of grooms that have come out that door up there in the chapel, they all come out like this. Man, I hope it's all right. Deep down in their mind, they're going, oh, Adam, even though you married way beyond your abilities, as you were coming out that door, what did you think? Lord, I hope I'm making the right decision. I've never met a groom that wasn't doing this. They fidget. And brides just look at them like this. Their eyes all batting, they're glowing, they're glittering, they're twinkling. You know, they got that glitter makeup on and all that stuff, and they shining. Y'all better look real hard, because that's the last of it right there. It's our Alpha and Omega experience right there. And then you get to honeymoon. How many of y'all remember the honeymoon? There's a con job for a week. You know, people handing you nice things, and then you come home. And they look at you and go, you're mine. Now we're about to business. Sometimes things aren't peaceful. And I think that we miss a whole lot of life. We miss a whole lot of life because we're looking for a utopia instead of for a purpose. God calls us to be about. He calls us to be into. He calls us to live. He calls us to embrace life, the difficult moments as well as the pleasurable moments. He tells us to go. Look at Luke 10. He tells us to go. Now, here's my challenge. A lot of you don't know as much about God as you could, and it's not because you lack knowledge, it's because you lack go. It's not your knowledge. Lord have mercy, this is a time of history. We got more Bible studies, conferences, and information centers about Jesus than any other time in history. And I would propose to you, we see very little of his activity today. Because you know what? The information will not make you go. You got to get to the call of God in your life. And that starts with this first realization. He's in you, not around you. He's in you, not around you. The solution to your situation has been placed in you. Grace, Andy, comes into us. We are the body of Christ, and who resides in it? Christ in the church. Christ in the world. So here's pretty cool. You ready? Let's get this rhythm. God sends, we receive. How many of y'all understand? We got to send, receive God. Send, receive. That's pretty cool. I live in a world today where I do send and receive every day. How many of y'all do send, receive every day? Every day you're in a send, receive world. How many of y'all text? Sheriff, you know what that is? You can send notes on that phone you got. Do you know that? Yeah. Send and what? Receive. All day long, we're in the process of sending and receiving. Guess who created that originally? God. He sends them. Look at Luke 10. After the Lord appointed 72 others, he's already sent 12. Now he's got 72 others. So Jesus is in a groove of sending. So I want you to know, you have been sent here today so that you can be sent into the world after the service on Monday morning, on Wednesday afternoon. As you live your life, Jesus is sending his grace in you, through you, and into the world. Did you get that? God's a God of movement. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two. How many of y'all are glad to know we don't do it alone? God designs us two by two. Now, it's interesting. You got to understand a little Judaism here. The reason they went two by two is because a witness or a testimony was only legally valid if it could be verified by two. So Jesus, being a great Jewish guy, knew the turf he was on, knew the culture he was in. He sent them two by two. I think there's also another thing. God has a consistent history of two by two, doesn't he? I mean, we start in the creation process, and you got Adam out there hanging out with all the animals. You know, he's doing his Adam thing. And he said it wasn't good for him to be alone. And he created what? What did God create? Eve. And she was? Guys, we do not need to be silent on this issue here. This needs to be very clear because we have some folks that don't understand this. God created a woman for Adam, because nothing else was suitable. Y'all remember that? Eve, the woman, two. They were no longer alone. He sends them two by two. How many of y'all got some folks that you walk in your faith with? This is just a heads up. Find somebody you can walk it with. Find somebody to go with you. Go two by two. The Lord sends them. Now, how many of y'all glad to know that every day we're being sent? We're being sent. I know some of y'all have been in church all your life and you see all these missionaries, you know, well, I'm being sent to Uganda to go do such and such and, you know, discover the cure to smallpox out of the mucoberry. Okay, most of you aren't going to get that call. I just made that up. Don't go Google that. There are no muckleberries there, okay? But we want to be dramatic instead of just sent. It's not a dramatic event. It's just a sent event. Go do what God tells you to do. Go two by two, go into the world. And then he said, by the way, it's not going to be peaceful. It's not going to be peaceful. It's just not going to be peaceful. How many of you all found doing life is not always peaceful? How many of y'all got kids? How peaceful are they? How many of y'all got grandkids? How about the second generation? They getting more peaceful? But they're a lot funner, aren't they? Because when they are disturbing, what can you do? Give them back. See, you're like God. You send them back to their parents. And you say, good luck. Yeah? So watch. Life has some noise to it. Jesus realized this. He said, I'm sending you out there. I'm sending you out to the world. And he said, this is what it's going to be like. I want you to go. I'm sending you. The reason I keep going over that, who's sending you? God. Now watch this on show this now. Is the world difficult? Yes. Does the world have difficult moments? Yes. Are there things that make us wonder about life? Absolutely. Because here's what he said. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. How many of y'all found that to be true in everything in life? Everything in life. The workers are what? Every organization I am in, guess what is few? Workers. Every company I've worked for, guess what is in few supply? Workers. Now, we got a lot of idea men and women. You know what I mean? I got a lot of y'all here that helped me pastor. Y'all got all kinds of ideas. I love it when you come to office. Pastor, I got this idea. I said, good. And then we'll talk about the idea, and you'll get all excited about it. And I said, now you go do that. Well, now, I don't think it's that good idea. How many of y'all, it's a good idea as long as you don't have to work for it? See, we enjoy the reward. We don't like the work. And Jesus said this. I want to give you some good news. The harvest is, what's the word there? Plentiful. I like strawberries. How many of y'all like strawberries? Anybody here like strawberries? Is it strawberry time? It should be strawberry time. Strawberry time right now, right? So I remember the first part of summer, one of the greatest things in the summer, back in the old days when things were ancient, before we talked to each other on phones all the time and actually had human conversation. There was this strawberry shortcake. Coach, you ever get any? I'm talking real scratch strawberry shortcake. I ain't talking about that sponge mimic imitation. I'm talking mama's real scratch. Yeah. Oh, you could smell it. And what'd you put on top of it? We'll get to whipped cream in a minute. But before you get to whipped cream, what are you putting whipped cream on top of? Strawberries. Y'all remember berries? You know what I'm talking about? Berries. Back then, before they knew this was harmful to you, how many of y'all ever had those strawberries? They lay them on halves and soak them in sugar. Oh! We're going to have some of those in heaven, I'm telling you. Now, for you diabetics, please don't do that or you will see Jesus sooner than not, okay? Yeah, but they lay it up on that shortcake. And I remember in our house, I had two sisters and a brother and me. So it's four of us all together. And things were rationed back in my day at the house. They were rationed. But every once in a while, if we'd been good, which was not often, on strawberries, shortcake strawberry, I mean, strawberries piled up on your plate, we got some of that whipped cream in a can. Ready whip. That stuff's in heaven. And I'm talking in the can, it's better than just lopping it on top. You know what I'm talking about? I'm in that can. I got to tell you all this funny story. It's awful. This doesn't have a lot of theological significance, but I remember on a particular strawberry day, I'm about 7 years old. My brothers and sisters are there. And for some reason, we had a assigned seating at the table. It was back, it's a rare time. It was an ancient day when you used to eat dinner at the table with each other. Y'all remember that? You sat down, you got reports of the day. And my father sat at the head of the table because he was the head of his house. For some reason, I had to sit next to him. And I don't think that was like being appointed to sit at the right hand of the father. You know what I'm talking about? I think there were some disciplinary reasons. Well, anyway, it's strawberry day. We've been in the garden. We picked strawberries. My dad, as a whole family, we've been in the garden. We're going to reap the rewards. Got these fresh strawberries, scratch, homemade, you know, shortbread strawberries. And mom, we've been so well behaved that particular day. She brings out the ready whip in the can. I'm just fired up as a kid. Well, I get a little too fired up, and I was saying something smart like to my sister, and I wasn't paying attention. And when I hit the old ready whip, I turned the can. I blasted my dad square in the head with a ready whip. Now, any of you know my father not the kind of man that instantly senses humor when these events go on. fact, my other three brothers and sisters looked at me and they were like, he dead now. We finally gonna get rid of him. He has ready whipped his father. Of course, he looked at me and, you know, he's pulling ready whip out of his eyes. And I realized then that even in the moment of celebration, things could go bad. But you know what? We love the ready whip. We love the strawberries. We don't like to work. I got to give you some things, heads up, Hillview. We got some good blessings coming here. They're going to require a lot of work. I got to give you a notice. Have y'all noticed? Have y'all walked around church here lately? How many of y'all walked around church here lately? That would be like coming in from the parking lot. Did y'all do that today or did y'all hover in? Yeah. I mean, just as we walk about, y'all always think I got some deep spiritual. No. You just walk around a church. Have you made this observation? We have a lot of young couples here. How many of y'all notice this? Just want to give you a heads up what young couples do. You know, they have those nights. Those nights. You know what I'm talking about? For some of you that have been married a long time, those nights go on. And they become with child. Blessed with child. We here at Hillview, man, we're really privileged because we got a lot of ladies blessed with child. So I just want to give you a heads up. Guess what's coming 6 months from now? A lot of children in the nursery. Guess what those children got to have? A lot of us in the body of Christ caring for them. Okay? So I just want to let you know, we're in a baby boom here at Hillview. We're in a baby boom, and we're going to need a lot of workers. Because I'll tell you one thing, I pray to God that we don't do. Let's not drop this generation. And all you ladies that are concerned about kids, let me tell you what, I got so in trouble to a group of ladies one time. They were all like, well, we're concerned about kids. I go, really? We pray for them all the time. Why don't you change their diapers? Why don't you go into preschool and teach them the good news of Jesus Christ? Why don't you get in there and spend 3 hours, 4 hours a week on preparing that lesson so that they'll hear the truth of God's word and be built strong to the next generation? Those are the things scripture. But see, we only want whipped cream and strawberries. We don't want the field. You know what Jesus said? The harvest is plentiful, church. The harvest is plentiful, man. This is amazing. Let me tell you what God said, not what Newsweek said, not what Time Magazine said, not what CNN said, not what we say. God said the harvest is plentiful. It's wide open. Workers are few. But he sends them out to work the harvest. That's our job, man. There are people that want to hear about Jesus. Did y'all realize that? Jesus said they wanted to hear about him. The harvest is, there's the word, plentiful means a whole lot. And he said, go work for me. Go tell them the good news. Go bring them in. They want to hear what I got to say. I'm going to challenge you to work. Challenge you to work the next generation. Men. Real men. Men. Beards. Men. Tough guys. We need tough guys in our nursery. Tough guys. Why? We got a lot of children that never get to see a man. Because unfortunately, they were assigned to a bum father that is not taking care of his responsibility. But guess what? We're not just going to whine about the situation. Let's go work the harvest to make a difference. Let's be in that nursery. Let's let a four-year-old be taught by a middle linebacker. That'll work. I want that four-year-old to see a big old guy going, hey, I love Jesus, boy, and you can love Jesus too. And if you don't sit still, you're going to meet him a lot sooner than you thought you were. God bless you, youngin'. Some of you parents go, well, that's not politically correct. Listen, if you're politically correct, you're not going to last long in Hillview anyway. You're not going to last long here. Because guess what? We tell the truth. You know what political correct is? It's a new way of lying. That's been approved by society. This thing in education came out a few years back. I never heard such silliness in my life. Well, we can't give a child a zero anymore. It'll hurt their self-esteem. Well, how you gonna know you dumb unless somebody tells you you dumb? You a zero right now. You're not a 40, you a zero. And guess what? If you tell somebody and they're 40 and they're a zero, guess what they still are? A zero. Now, you got to tell them the good news. The plentiful harvest is God didn't make you to be a zero. You've chosen to be a zero. And now you need to choose to receive the activity of God in your life so you can get on up and be what he's made you to be. That's the way it really works. Amen? Harvest is plentiful. Watch this. First thing I tell my kids that I coach is people have lied to you all your life. That's the first thing I tell them. When you came out of the womb, they started lying to you. They said you was pretty. Y'all ever seen a pretty right out of the womb? I'm not talking lifted out, helicoptered out. I'm not talking that. That's pretty. But I mean through the birth canal. I've told y'all this before. I thought my first child, aliens. I'm like, man. Of course, my mama and his mama looked at me and go, oh, he's a pretty baby. I said, I hope he turns into that. You know, he eventually plopped out. He had cone head, everything, eyes bulging out. Falling home. I mean, it was scary. But he made it. Why? Because he received truth and he harvested. Hold on, I want you to grab this principle today. When you receive truth, you can harvest. Now you got to get in the patch. You know where you get strawberries for dessert? Guess where you got to get them? Field, strawberry patch. And guess what you got to do? You got to pick them. You got to bend over the strawberry patch, get strawberries all day. You sit there and pick them, put them in little jars. Everybody gets excited about eating the strawberries, but not too many people get excited about going and what? How many of y'all realize God's calling us to go out there in the field and pick the strawberry, bring in the harvest? Great things can happen in strawberry patch. The first time I ever saw my wife, she's in strawberry patch. I didn't know who she was. My dad and I had been picking strawberries on down the road in Russellville. We were coming down 6880, it's old 6880. I was about 13, just coming into eighth grade, summer before my eighth grade year. Things were starting to happen to me. I don't know if they were of God, but they were of. My head was turning and being attracted to things that it normally hadn't been attracted to. I look over there in 6880, and there's a blonde-headed girl bent over in a strawberry patch. My head went, strawberries. That one move has cost me a lot of money. I didn't even know her name. Strawberry patch, out in the field working. First time I ever saw my wife, she was out in the field working. I know for some of you who are 13, some of you parents, right now you're gasping for oxygen. It's unbelievable to you all that a 13-year-old child could even be involved in labor. That their self-esteem would be broken forever. Maybe that's our whole problem. Maybe they'd be working at 40 if they learned to work at 14. To work the harvest, God calls us to be involved with him in the world. That's good news, isn't it? Even God says work won't hurt you. What do you think about that? He says go work it. And he said also this, be confident in me. Be confident in me. Look, he said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you out. Check this out. He told him the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into harvest. Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Oh, that's beautiful. Anybody know what wolves do to lambs? Anybody know? Somebody tell me what wolves do to lambs. They eat them. Thank you, Joseph. That's very direct. That was very good. That's very unpolitically correct. It's just true. Wolves eat lambs. Anybody know what shepherds do to wolves? Kill them. They don't gently take them to wolf therapy. They rid the wolves so the lambs can survive. He said, I'm sending you out as lamb among wolves. But he said, you know what? Don't fear the wolves because you got the ultimate shepherd. How many of y'all find that to be good news? Don't fear the wolves because you have been sent by the what? Shepherd. So when you meet wolves on your way, you need to quit freaking out. You need to go, hey, you know my shepherd? You better straighten up, you nasty old wolf. Because he's going to take you out. Now, guess what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to go find other lambs. Quit playing with wolves. How many of y'all been playing with wolves? And you got to watch sheep that are wolves. You know how you do it? You got to check your teeth. You got to check your teeth. Sheep, if you look at their teeth, you say,
Sheep, show me your teeth. They'd just be like straight little teeth. Sheep teeth. Because all they do is eat grass. Am I correct there, Mark? You've been out in the country. Now, if you pull up, even if they're woolly and they're fuzzy and they got sheep crosses on the side of them and they got holy flip-flops on or whatever the sheep are trying to do, if you pull open their gums and they have fangs, they're a wolf and they're not a sheep and they don't have a shepherd and they're deadly. Do you hear what I'm saying? I don't care how much religious costuming they're wearing, inside they are not of God. And wolves don't act like sheep. Wolves bite, wolves kill, wolves are carnivores, and wolves don't work. They attack. Guess what lambs do? They go work the harvest. I want you to meet the shepherd. Lambs want people to meet their shepherd. What's the problem with wolves? They don't have a what? Shepherd. They got a wolf. Anybody know how wolves travel? Packs. Some of you all probably are familiar with the wolf pack from a movie that came out a couple years ago. Yeah, the wolf pack. But God calls us to be sheep in the midst of wolves, declaring the good news of a shepherd. In fact, he said, don't even take a bag. Don't take your money. Now watch this. Don't misinterpret this. Don't greet anybody on the road. Be about your purpose. We got to tell some folks that there's good news in the house. Jesus Christ will change their lives. How many of y'all believe that to be absolutely true? And he will bring you into the lamp. Okay, we got to stop there today. Okay? This sermon is, ready? It's like one of those TV shows, to be continued, ... We got to pick it up next week. So be back next week, and we're going to talk about the power of God being released as we go, okay? Today, first question, have you received Christ? That's good news, okay? And some of you haven't received Christ yet. Guess what? You're going to get to receive Christ today. Is that not great news or what? How many of y'all glad to know that every Sunday we meet, we get some more lambs in the house? That's what it's about, okay? It's about that. It's about that. Now, as an under-shepherd, I'm like a sub-shepherd. I don't even like to use the term shepherd when it comes to pastors, because I believe God is the supreme God, and I believe he's the ultimate shepherd, okay? As, if you will, as a sheep hand, I'm a hand on the farm, all right? I want to warn you, there are wolves discussing things that are opposed to God. Guess what? There's wolves in the church today that say leading people to Christ isn't important. There's people today that say baptisms aren't important. Below me. Jesus said they were. Jesus said it's important. He said, I've come that you might be saved. I've come that you might be blessed. I've come that you might be made new. I've come that the world might be changed. He's come to make us a peaceful disturbance. We're going to find out more about that week, but I want you to play with it this week. When you walk in, there'll be a peaceful presence that is disturbing to wolves. How many of y'all can tell when you're in a house of peace and when there's a wolf around? Sheep know when wolves are around. Have y'all noticed that? They know when they're in danger. Wolves are dangerous. How many of y'all got a pet wolf? How many of y'all would like to come to my house if I was doing wolf rehab? Huh? Would you like that? I'd say, Sheriff, don't worry about that. Come on in. It's just a wolf. Well, what's the other one? That's his brother. What are you doing? Well, I'm counseling them. Come on up here on the porch. Sheriff go, you got them on a chain? No, I'm trusting them on their own reconnaissance to not be wolves. What's going to happen to the sheriff? He's going to make a papers. Sheriff eaten by two wolves on porch of preacher. Sounds like an inquire moment. Wolves will be wolves, but lambs ought to be lambs. Now, I want to give a prophetic moment here. We got a world full of howling wolves. And the lambs have grown silent. And so I'm asking you to speak up and trust the shepherd. The who? I'm not asking you to be obnoxious. I'm not asking you to try to convince people. Jesus doesn't ask us to that. He says, go and tell. That's it. Here's what's so sad. We've refused to just go and what? Tell. You say, well, Pastor Steve, when I do that, people get mad at me. Well, Lord, have mercy. You're married. Your husband or wife gets mad at you all the time. That doesn't keep you from being married. People are going to get mad at you every once in a while. How many of y'all notice that? I have people get mad at me all the time. I sleep like a baby. You know why? I trust the shepherd to my howling wolves. Because he said he sent me out in the world, and he said the world wasn't perfect, and the world's not stress-free, and the world's not at peace. And he said, in the world, there are some wolves. Hello? And he said, trust me with your wolves. How many of y'all need to trust Jesus with your wolves? Yeah, just go. Go tell. He said, well, Pastor Harris, they feel like we're not politically correct. Who? Let me let you all in this wonderful thing called source credibility. It doesn't matter what the journalists say. They will die. It doesn't matter what the politicians say. Eventually, they run out of terms or nobody will elect them again. And guess what happens to them? Take a guess. They die. All the intellectuals with their great discoveries, guess what happens to them? They die. Preachers that know everything, guess what happens to them? They die. I like the shepherd. He died, and 3 days later, he's not dead. I'd listen to him. I would listen to him. I would listen to him. Here's why. He's the only person I know that lives with a message that won't die. Why? He is God. And his message is this: if anyone has sinned, they need to repent of their sins. Hello? Repent. You know what that means? Actually be sorry for them. How many of y'all sorry for what you did? Not that you got caught, for what you did. Yeah, we got to eventually get sorry for it. If you're in here today wondering, well, Lord have mercy, are all these people in here saved? A lot of them are. You say, well, how in the world did it happen to them? Guess what they said? They heard the message of the shepherd. They heard this message. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. How many of y'all believe that? All of us. If you don't mind, I hope this doesn't offend you too bad. Hey, just tell your neighbor. That includes you. Just go ahead and let them know. That includes you. Includes you. Yeah, so sometimes we need to hear that, because I talk about we all sinning, and I hear some of you had a little cartoon catcher over your head. You say, Pastor, go get those sinners. Go get them, preacher. No, it's we sinners who need God's grace. And you say, man, let me tell you what, you can be connected to the greatest message of all that'll never die today. This pumps me up, man. We had two people receive Jesus Christ this morning at 8 o'clock. You know what they said? Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm tired of living this way. I'm sorry, God. You know what God said? Hey, I want to come into your life and forgive you your sins. I want to show you a new world. Now I can send you under my protection. Donna, not that you've lived a couple of summers, haven't you, honey? Have you noticed God to be faithful in all? And as one who has planted and harvested, haven't you noticed God's always come through no matter what the crisis in the planting? Always, Donna. You could stand and give testimony. Through the hailstorm, through the windstorm, through the floods, and through the drought, God has always come through. How many of y'all got that promise in your life? All of us do who have the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. Hello? And we need to embrace that reality. That God loves us enough to forgive us and to send us. Isn't that amazing? So guess what? We're going to finish this service up here in a second. You're going to be sent into the what? World. Don't be surprised if somebody flips you off on the way home. How many of y'all realize, how many of y'all have ever come out of worship and had somebody flip you off? I have. I've been driving down the road after I preached a sermon, you know, and Claypool, it wasn't you, but it's a truck that looked like yours. Okay, it wasn't yours, so I know yours. And I wasn't paying attention, make some kind of stupid traffic move, and the next thing I know, the International Praise and Worship Center sign is sticking out. The guy's, you know, he's got the lifted finger, not the lifted hand. And I'm like, I just finished preaching. And what do I need to remember? Boys, there's wolves. And I need to respond like a lamb. But not a lamb led to slaughter. A lamb that reigns with the shepherd. So lambs, we got to work the harvest. Amen. How many of y'all cool with this? Three things today. How many of y'all glad to know there's already people that want to hear the gospel? Jesus said so. The harvest is plentiful. He didn't say it's limited. He said it's plentiful. When I meet with all these preachers, I don't know what they're talking about. They're all worried about who goes to whose church. I could care less because I've read the Bible. The harvest is plentiful. Harvest is plentiful. Y'all, how many of y'all have ever raised a garden? In my house, my father, we all raised garden. I remember when cucumbers used to come in. My dad was, he thought he God had called him to solve world hunger. One year we had, I never sliced so many cucumbers in my life. They were everywhere. And so what do you do if you have too many cucumbers? Well, you give them away or you can them and make pickles. Man, it was like we were distilling something else, Sheriff. We had pickle buckets laying around that house. They were all curing up. The harvest was plentiful that year. Did you realize that's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? We just hadn't picked up what God's already done. You know why? I think, now help me here. I think we listen to more howling than we do shepherd advice. Because wolves howling, they can get your attention, can't they? Even coyotes. I was hunting this spring. We got there real early in the morning. It was dark. And I don't know about you. I'm a grown man. But it's still creepy in the woods when it's dark. You just don't know what's going to jump out at you. You know what I mean? I'm scared Freddy Krueger might be in there somewhere. We're walking through the woods early in the morning. Still kind of dark. Light hadn't broke yet. And all of a sudden we hear the scream of a coyote. And it wasn't too far away. Well, I'm going to tell you, it curdled my blood. But he goes, Dad, you got a gun? I said, that sounded close. He's probably right here and we don't know he's here. You know what? That's what the wolf wants you to think. How many of y'all realize the wolf wants you to think he's greater than he is? And here's what we need to come to realize. The shepherd that sends us is enough. He's greater than our purse. He's greater than our sandals. He's greater than a change of clothes. He's enough to get the job done. So today I want to invite you. He's enough to change your life. Why don't you say today, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sins. I want to be saved. I want to be connected to these people. I don't want to be left out at the table. I don't want to be left out at the table. Some of you today, you've received the Lord Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. You need to get obedient and you need to get to baptism and get that done. Yeah? How many of y'all need to get your baptism done? Let's do that. It's summertime. Let's get it done. Let's get it done. Let's be praying for church camp. Vacation Bible school in July. Let's get in there and work together. Let's love these kids. I don't want the next generation going through all this crazy. How many of y'all don't want the next generation going through all this crazy? Now listen, I believe like anybody else, we got to be praying on a daily basis without ceasing for our next generation. But prayer without hands and feet is not prayer. If you pray for the next generation and that doesn't drive you to speak to them, take your gifts and talents and put in them, that ain't much of a prayer. That's probably what it talks about over there in Corinthians. It's just noise. Because prayer gets you up in the morning. Prayer takes your feet out in the highways and the byways. Prayer opens your heart up to Jesus as you're working during the day. Prayer makes you speak. We got babies on the way, amen? How many of y'all glad we got babies on the way? I'm excited because they're your babies. And I want you to raise them in the ways of the Lord. And I want you to jump up and down with them and have a great time with them. I thank you that you have them in church because I think the good news of Jesus Christ is going to change them forever. Does that make sense? Had a mother ask me the other day, I mean, it's how straight I'll get with you. She goes, my child's only eight years old. And do you think he can understand Jesus? I said, absolutely. And she said, well, I think he's too young. And I said, well, Mama, let me just help you with something. An eight-year-old boy wasn't too young for a terrorist bomb to take his life on the sidewalk. We live in a new world, but not really. We live in a world where the wolf has been let loose. And when you let wolves loose, and when you pet wolves, and when you call wolves doggies, this is the trouble you get. I'm not surprised of any news report I hear. I'm not surprised one bit. The church has gone in hiding, and the devil's been loosed. I think, church, we ought to come out of hiding, go where we're sent, and tell the good news about Jesus. Amen? Can't do that till we get obedient. Have you received Jesus? Have you been obedient in baptism? Are you willing to start praying that God use your life in a real way? I want you to come and say, guess what? God, this summer, don't let me miss my sent appointment somewhere. Make sense? God, let me just tell somebody about Jesus. I promise you, you do it one time, you'll be doing it all the time. If you'll do it one time, you'll be doing it what? All the time. It'll just start coming out of your mouth. It'll just be natural. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not asking you to be hokey, and I'm definitely not asking you to be religious. I'm just asking you to follow Jesus, be who you are, and tell the truth about who he is, and you'll be amazed at what God does. Amen? Well, let's stand together. Y'all been more than wonderful. Let's ask God to heal us, to love us, to save us. Be obedient in baptism to him. Lord Jesus, right now we're going to open this altar because you allow it. God, I ask that your spirit draw people to salvation, to baptism, to a concern for others. Lord, I just pray for people that are having a tough time today. God, it may be in a marriage. It may be in a relationship with their kids. It may be at work. Lord, you just touch them right now. Lord, I thank you for the new children that are on their way. You just bless these mamas, Lord, in that pregnancy. You just secure them and love them. And Lord, as we expect new, may we be a part of the newness of grace. So now I pray, listen, if you've never received Jesus, why don't you ask him, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry. Just tell him, I'm sorry, Lord. I don't want to live this way anymore. Lord Jesus, forgive me. I receive your grace. That'll change you forever. That will change you forever. Maybe you received Christ during the week or sometime in the past few weeks, and you need to come and talk to a pastor and say, you know what? I'm going to be honest, and I'm going to be obedient to God, and I'm going to ask God to seal me in baptism. And you need to come and be obedient in baptism. Maybe you just need to come and say, God, I'm just confused right now. Lord, help me live out what you've made me to be. He'll answer those prayers. Amen. I want to thank y'all for being here today. Thank y'all for loving God. I feel the Spirit of God in this place. I hope you do. How many of y'all feel the Spirit of God in this place? Now listen, God's not up to anything new, but if you'll make your availability to his reception in your life, I promise you, you'll see things you've never seen before. But I'm going to tell you, you're not going to really see the glory of God by sitting on the premises. If all you got's a can of whipped cream, you don't have a lot. You'll find God in the field where the bugs and the dirt and the sweat, where it happens. In the midst of all those things that sound so harsh, there's the glory of God because you are where he sent you. And if we go there, we'll always be in the right place. Let's come to this altar. Let's pray that God move in dramatic ways this summer amongst our city, amongst our churches. And let's just let God have his way. I got great news. The altar's open. We can pray together. We can ask God to heal us together. We can receive Christ. If you've already received Christ, come tell us about it. You can come here to be obedient to baptism. You can come here and ask for healing. This altar's open. I wouldn't stand there and stare at it. I would come and receive it. So in the name of Jesus, let's come and pray. Let's come and let God just move on us in the name of Jesus.